The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Christy Matthews, and for those of you who've listened to the show before, you know that I never do the intro. That's always Michelle, but she's not here with me today recording, so I did it solo. As usual, thank you so much for joining us. We're happy you're here. So we are sans Michelle, but I do have an awesome pair of ladies with me recording. So I'll introduce them in a second after just a couple quick reminders. Okay, first of all, as I said, thank you again for listening. We love you. Thank you for your reviews and your questions and for following us everywhere. And for those of you who are patrons on patreon.com, you can become a patron by going there, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. I wanted to let you know that I am very diligently working on the newsletter, and it's coming very soon. I'm working on it today. I'll be sending it within the next 48 hours. So by the time you're listening to this episode, you should have gotten an incredible October newsletter, and I'm probably starting to work on the November newsletter. And that is one of the perks of becoming a patron. And one of my favorite parts about that is the reading list. It's really good this month, and I'm already collecting ideas and stories for next month as well, for November or this month. You know how this backdating goes. Okay. Also, if you live in Nashville or anywhere near Nashville, come see us. Michelle and I, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, will be at the Modern Love event on December 2nd. You can buy tickets for that online at modernloveevent.com. Follow their link to Eventbrite and use the code BIGWEDDING and you will get a discount. And lastly, Michelle and I are both available for one-on-one or one-on-two consulting via Skype and FaceTime. If you want to work out some of your own wedding planning kinks or issues, or could use some advice for your own personal unique quandaries, email us and we'll just set a date. It's so easy. It's valuable. It's fun. It includes 2 hours of consultation with one of us, and then an informative, detailed follow-up as well. So email us for that at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. So now on to the podcast today. From New York City, we have Jacqueline and Anna, and their company is called Our Story Bridal. So here's the official blurb. Our Story Bridal is New York's only luxury consignment wedding boutique with pre-owned and sample dresses at up to 60% off of the curated, with a curated assortment by designers like Monique Lhuillier, Vera Wang, Inbal Dror. You guys are going to help me with that one. I'm not even sure I pronounced it right. Oscar de la Renta and Carolina Herrera. Also, better yet, their dresses are in immaculate condition and not only in runway or sample sizes. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, we're so excited to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I also want to just put a little bit out there right now at the top of the episode that this episode, if you haven't figured it out, is going to be all about wedding dresses and bridal dress shopping. So it's not as male inclusive as most of our episodes are. So that's what it's about, you guys. And for you brides, I wanted to have Jacqueline and Anna on after Jacqueline, you emailed me to kind of pitch being on the podcast, which we get a good amount of emails and a lot of times it's just not a good fit. But I was immediately interested in having you guys on because as a wedding planner, I've worked with brides who want to buy a designer dress at, you know, a consignment price. And also I've worked with brides who want to sell their designer dress after the wedding. And I don't have a lot of recommendations for them. And that's for, you know, weddings in Texas, weddings in California, weddings in the South. So I was I'm super interested because I think it's something that people assume will be an easy process. Right. Like, oh, I spent all this money on a dress. Of course I'll be able to sell it after my wedding. But then when it comes down to it, the logistics are maddening, or you have to go to Craigslist. So yeah. people just don't. And then they just have their dress, and it was like a frustrating process. So
Right. Before
we get into the exact like ins and outs of what it means to be consignment and how the process works, I would love to hear and know a little bit about you two and how you met and why you started the company, sort of your origin story for our story bridal.
Yeah, sure. So Anna and I, we met in at the Wharton Business School. And before that, I was basically doing a lot of consulting. I worked for a startup in Africa. I call that my quarter life crisis. I decided to move to Kenya, kind of leave the traditional corporate world. And then I decided to go to business school after that, just to kind of get a broader look of what our possible choices for what to do with a, you know, business background. And then I went into another strategy job with consulting as well. And then finally I was marketing at Bath & Body Works. So a little bit of everything, but we met at business school.
Yeah, so to lead on to that, Jacqueline and I both met in business school. And then from there, we kind of took different paths. She went to work at Bath & Body Works. I went to work at Apple over in California. One thing or another, it brought me back to New York after having gotten engaged and married. And then Jacqueline had also gotten married pretty much around the same time I did. And we both were going through the process of trying to sell our wedding dresses. It seems like we both had limited spaces in our apartment. We were just kind of like, what do we do with this dress that costs us thousands and thousands of dollars? And sure, we want to donate it, but we also want to recoup some money out of it. So the only option we could find in New York was donation. We were quite surprised that there was no trustworthy way to sell a wedding dress other than trying to sell it online. So that's kind of the only option we had, trying to sell it online. And it turns out it was a nightmare for both of us. We were trying to sell the dress. It took me over 2 years. I probably saw over 50 people in my apartment come in, different sizes, different measurements, different expectations from what the dress really was. It just wasn't selling until we finally had like five friends in my apartment, put the dress in a mannequin, gave her like a beautiful experience, pretty much try to find her a seamstress that would help us with any alterations, and then running out to try to find how to deposit that check that she just gave me that wouldn't bounce.
Oh my gosh.
So it was just a nightmare. And then
so you had to like create a bridal experience in your apartment just to even get to the next step.
Right, and for all the reasons that you stated earlier, Chrissy, about how frustrating the process, and that's how Anna and I connected, was just, like, she had just completed the process. I was just starting. I was trying to, like, sell the wedding dress, but as you mentioned, like, even questions of, like, how do I accept payment was something that, you know, was just quite scary online, as well as, like, fielding and knowing the risks that are associated with online purchasing. But you're right, it's like buying a wedding dress on Craigslist or trying to sell one.
And that's from a seller's point of view. From a bride's point of view, it must have been even harder.
Yeah.
Going to random people's places is probably not ideal.
Yes, because they don't want to give you the money unless they get the dress. And you don't want to give them the dress unless you get the money.
Right.
And know that that's all happening and squared away. So it's definitely not as easy as just being like, I have this futon.
No.
who wants to come buy my futon?
Yeah, especially because wedding dresses, not only it's so expensive, but it's also like most of them have been pre-altered. So you think you might be a size 4, but you actually might be a size 2 in your bust, a size 8 in your hips. It's just completely different, meaning that you have to try it on. And then for the brides, like, we wanted to create a special experience so that they can get a more traditional high-end experience, but kind of get the access to all the pre-owned and sample dresses as well on a discount.
So your paths, I mean, you were friends and you were in school at the same time, but this whole endeavor never would have happened if one of you had planned your wedding 6 months on either end. But because they kind of happened at the same time and you were going through the same, you're both trying to solve a problem for yourself at essentially the same time, and it was the same problem.
Right.
So then with your business, even though the businesses that you've been involved in ahead of time had nothing to do with the wedding industry, it was like, this is clearly, there's like a need, and so we're going to put our heads together and go for it?
Right. I mean, we did it step by step. So we knew that, having been in the seller's shoes, we knew that there was probably plenty of other sellers who wanted to sell their wedding dress. And for us, a question mark was, you know, are brides ready for the idea of pre-owned wedding dresses? Like, are they ready to, like, since I think that's just, you know, with Rent the Runway, with other, like, the RealReal, like, the idea of pre-owned, especially for wedding, is kind of, like, emerging, definitely a bigger trend now. So we had to test the market. So we started with a series of pop-ups where we were very scrappy. We took about, you know, 40, 50 dresses from around New York, and we popped up in a friend's studio in Tribeca, just to test if we were right about, you know, both the seller side as well as the bride side as well.
And those were just runaway successes, or it was still like, we're in the, like, guess and check phase?
No, it was from the pop-up, that was kind of like, let's see what happens, and we were pretty much... We were pretty hopeful because having given our experience, but we were quite surprised that we were selling dresses from day one, and they weren't even the most recent collections. Since then, we've evolved, and we realized, like, people, even though they're buying pre-owned, they really care for the gown to be new, like new.
Yes.
Nothing can be missing from the gown. Nothing can be shown signs of wear and tear. So since then, that is our number one priority. The dresses have to be like new. And then number two, we also realized, like, they want current collections. The trends are changing very quickly. So we only accept collections, like the very most recent collections. So now they're coming in and pretty much buying what's at a lot of retailers.
Okay, got it. So I'm going to trip, I know, and at some point during this, I'm going to say a used wedding dress, because it's like selling a used car. It's been used. But of course, that's not part of the language that you guys are using. And then from what you're saying, if it needs to be like new, as a wedding planner, I would bet that most of the dresses that are in that quality coming to you were not worn maybe for the entire wedding. Like, it was one of those, might be a bride that changed her dress before dancing, or, you know, it was fully indoors, nothing was outside. Because I'm thinking of, like, the wedding I just had. It was a beautiful dress. I'm not sure if it was a designer dress, but it wasn't, like, ripped or stained by the end of the night, but it had definitely, I mean, it would not be in like new. And that's because we were outside, and then we were inside, and she was dancing in it, a lot of dancing. So who are the brides that are selling their dresses with you that have dresses that they have worn but are still in pretty pristine condition?
Well, Chrissy, the great news is that's why we started to offer cleaning and restoration services. So we work with, like, amazing professional wedding dress gown cleaners they've been in service for about over 100 years. So they can clean out mostly anything. We've had people who had wine stains on a Monique Lhuillier dress, and they were able to lift that. And then also we have in-house seamstresses, not only for the brides so that they can have alteration and customization services, but also for restorations as well. So we can replace tool, we can fix holes in tool. We can literally work magic in both in terms of cleaning and restoration. So definitely we're able to restore pretty much anything back to like new.
So if it's a dress you want and it's current and it's designer, even if the train is ripped or there's a button definitely that popped off and a stain, you might still say to that bride, like, we'll take it, and we're going to work in the price of restoration into this deal between us.
Yeah, we always have to inspect. Obviously, if it's completely torn, then that's a different story. But like Jacqueline was saying, majority of things, especially, like, if you're enjoying your party and you're kind of going day by day and it's fine, unless you jump into the pool and, like, people start pulling on your dress.
Right.
Most of the things, I would say, like, 95% or even 90, we can fix. And now if the skirt is completely torn and the tool is completely torn, another solution could be then we redo the layer of the skirt. Mm-hmm. So we always come up with solutions. So there's always, in general, especially if it's a trendy dress, there's generally solutions to get it back to, like, new.
Definitely.
So when you start with pop-ups, and it's like you have the actual tangible item in your hand and people are walking out the door with them. Now we're going to the buyers, these brides that are coming to you to buy from these pop-ups. So at what point did the business, I mean, now it's a lot of stuff's online now. So where are you now? There's an actual storefront, and then also an online store, and people, that's how a bride that's looking to buy or sell would hook up with you? Like, how has the business grown to what it is now?
Right, right. So from the pop-ups, we evolved into like a traditional brick-and-mortar store with an online presence. So for our brides, we know that they want the brick-and-mortar experience, a special experience where they can bring their family and friends and see and try on the entire collection. So, but they can book their appointments online. They can also see a good snapshot of the types of dresses that we have online as well. And for our sellers, they sign up online. And then we arrange to either pick up their dress through complimentary pickups. They can ship it to us. We get dresses shipped in from like literally all over the world. And also they can drop it off at our boutique as well. They live like near us in Manhattan. So we're kind of pairing the best of the best in terms of the brick and mortar for the bride, so they get the special experience. But then the convenience that online sometimes gives you for both brides and sellers.
Okay, so let's tell a story of two brides then. They both live in the Midwest. And Columbus bride is coming to New York City for 3 days with her mom and her sister, and they are not leaving until they find a dress. Like, she wants something off the rack, but she wants it to be designed. She wants to be able to actually leave with a dress, and she's going to hit up a bunch of places in New York City. So is our story one of those places, and she just makes the appointment ahead of time and maybe can pin or look and see, like, I definitely want to try those four on if they're available when I get there. And then you have consultants. Tell me about this Columbus bride. Like, what happens for her?
Yeah, exactly. So she would book an appointment online, and then she would come to her appointment. So there she would be able to see our entire collection of dresses, and she'll get a good sense from what the snapshot of the inventory that we have online to say, oh, I love this M. Saleh dress, or I love this like Haley Page dress. So she can kind of have that discussion with our consultant. And that's why we're appointment only, because we want to make sure that the brides have a dedicated stylist, that they have this, like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour where they can truly just focus on themselves and what they're looking for. And then during her time with us, she'll go and look at all the dresses. She'll pick out a few to try on. She'll try it on with her mom. She'll also get some feedback or some thoughts from our stylist. We also have accessories.
That was my next question.
So we can look at veils, we can look at sashes, and we also can kind of think about and talk to her about ways she can personalize her dress. Maybe she wants to add sleeves that are detachable. Maybe she wants to add a detachable skirt. So we kind of work with her, but that's the great thing about us, is that she does get the designer dress, she does get the discount, and she also gets her dress that day if she wants to, and then she can fly back to Columbus. So we kind of hit a lot of the check marks that other places don't offer.
So it is possible to walk out with the dress. If it happens to fit pretty well, when she knows she has a seamstress in Columbus to help, she could walk out with the dress.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the big perks about buying with us. It's majority of the gowns you're probably trying around your size. You're not trying much bigger samples. So you actually get to see how it looks on you. And a lot of times you get to walk down the aisle tomorrow because it fits you like a glove.
Awesome.
If you need any alterations, sometimes it's like a very minor, like checking in the bust,
right,
or
like the hemline, like something. But like, we carry sizes 0 to 20, street size.
Got it. Which is also different from a store that only has the sample sizes, and then you have to wait to order, because most,
right,
they have them a little bit bigger, and then they clip you and try to show you what it will look like. And I've definitely had friends that have gotten married where the ideas that they had for the alterations, once the alterations were done, were not, then it was like, oh, now I have a dress I don't like. And one of my dear friends went through that, and she did end up buying an entirely new dress weeks before her wedding that she could walk out of the store with. So it was that like panic of like, I've spent all this money on this dress and had it altered, but I altered it so much that it doesn't look like what I had in mind originally. So I think a big plus is this experience of going into a bridal store. Of course, it's like the movie montage. There's a little thing to stand on, and the mirrors and the great light. And you feel sort of like a princess for a day. But then also the plus of like leaving, holding your dress. It's got to be huge. So now there's a bride in, let's say, Kansas City. So she bought her designer dress, had it fit to her body, and the wedding is over, the dress is in good condition, she paid $8,000 for the dress. So what now? She emails you guys, and walk us through every step for how she would get paid, how you sell the dress, and how the transaction is done without her being in New York?
So we make the process very easy, the consignment process. The first step is for them to go to our website and they can fill out a form online. It's a very quick form that pretty much captures just the designer, the style, and the pricing they're looking to sell it at. Once we receive that, we reply very quickly to let them know if we can accept it. So just based on the form, we can tell them, can we accept it or can we not accept it? And then from there, once accepted, as Jacqueline mentioned, we offer complimentary pickup in New York. They can drop it off at our boutique, and if a lot of times what we do as well, we can ship them a box for cleaning if they haven't cleaned it. So in that box, it includes the cost of cleaning and the shipping, so they don't have to pay additional shipping costs. From there, we get the dress into our boutique, and we have it on consignment for 6 months, during which time we expect to sell it. And once the dress has sold, then the bride receives a percentage from the commission, a very high percentage. We have the lowest commission as of now in consignment.
So what would that be if it's an $8,000 dress, chances are you can sell it for around, and I know these are approximates, right, but just as an example.
So in terms of pricing, we do let the sellers decide. We think they're the best at judging how much the dress can sell for. And obviously, everybody wants to sell it. So we do advise for them to price it at a certain discount that incentivizes a bride to buy this dress versus going to the store and buying the exact same new one.
Mm-hmm.
So we advise between like 40 to 50% off retail price. But again, they have decision. And then from there, from that selling price is where they'll receive the sales proceeds.
Okay, so they don't get a check or a payment until it sells out of your store.
Right, right.
That's correct. There's no fees to have the dress with us, but they'll receive the payment once the dress has sold.
Right.
Got it. And then your store makes money by taking a percentage of that selling price, the sale
right.
price.
Correct.
Got
yeah.
it.
And we definitely maximize the chances of her getting her dress sold given the other pretty much online avenues. So we market for the brides. So we know we have a team of stylists. We have a seamstress who can give, feedback on what can or can't be changed to brides,
mm-hmm.
which is something that Anna and I didn't have trying to sell our dress in New York.
Right.
Brides would ask us questions like, can this be done? I was like, I don't know.
Right.
Now I know. But back then, before I owned a bridal boutique, I didn't know. So all these things that are, kind of building blocks to creating the moment for a bride to decide to want to buy the dress.
And to add to that, we are also probably the biggest thing we are is a trustworthy source. You come to us because you trust the creation, you trust the product, you trust that we're saying the right information, both for brides and the sellers. So you trust what's being put together. You don't have to worry anymore about what if this, what if that.
Right, and the chances are higher that someone's going to buy your dress when they're getting it paired with that experience of
right.
going to the store and being taken care of. There's a consultant there, and also the dresses are kept in good shape while they're in your store. I think that's
Definitely.
Another part of like somebody, you had 20 people come to your apartment to try on a dress and step into your bathroom to put it on or whatever, and like their shoes and they're yanking it up and
right.
something gets looped or ripped or whatever just in the process of trying it on. So it's like safekeeping and storage basically until it sells, and then they get their check for it.
Right. And that's such a good point because for example, we have people wear gloves while they're in the showroom. So, your dresses are definitely protected. We, instruct our stylists to carry gowns a certain way. We use different ways to handle and to protect your dress while it's in our care. So I think that's such a great point of, where we really treat your dress like our own, like my dress sold in the store. So I've definitely been in the shoes of the seller, so I know what they expect and what we should provide them with as well.
How many dresses are in the store at any given time, about?
Yeah, probably about 400 to 500 at any time.
Wowza. So it does take a little bit of direction or ideas ahead of time to pull the ones that are going to fit what that bride is looking for.
Yeah, and our stylists are pretty good about picking a few before they come in.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, brides do have enough time to be able to browse pretty much the full collection because we limit it to their certain sizes. We don't want to pull a dress that's not going to fit or it just doesn't make sense. So we do keep it around their size range, and then they're able to browse kind of the full collection.
Got it. So what happens if somebody sends you a dress and for whatever reason, the dress is in great shape, but you take it and you think you'll be able to sell it? Has it ever happened that then a year later it's just still there, for it just hasn't been sold? What do you do?
Yeah, so our contract is normally for about 6 months. And it does happen because there are two things. One is that sizing. So we have to always make sure that, we have to find a bride with the right dimension. So sizing sometimes can be a limiting factor. The second thing is style. Like, people have different preferences, especially for a wedding dress, such a personal decision. So because of those two factors, there are, sometimes dresses that we aren't able to sell. And then we follow up with next steps, and we kind of arrange for the drop off of the dress, or they can come pick it up, or we work with a great nonprofit as well, Brides for a Cause, and they sell wedding dresses on the West Coast, and their donations, we can get a tax deduction, but they use the proceeds to help fuel women-related causes. So that's also another option. So again, we also provide you options if your wedding dress is not able to sell within the time frame.
So some, like for myself, if I was a bride and I thought I can get some money for this dress and then it just didn't happen, just to like be done with it, I would really appreciate being like, oh, you have a connection to donate this to the right cause, and it's going to go to somebody, that will appreciate it and love it, and like it's going to get a second life breathed into it. That sounds great.
Right.
Good. Done. You're like, it's not something I need to deal with anymore, and I feel kind of good about it. So that's
exactly.
Like a pretty good second option if I'm not going to get, 60% of half the dress's value, I guess.
Right, right. And the other thing to note is that we always keep all the dress information on file, like the designer, the set, styling. So we have had instances, even though the dress have it's left our shop, we still connect them with the bride who came in looking for that specific style. So we've also done that as well, because all the information is still stored in our database.
Got it. So I didn't include this on my little outline to talk to you about, but can you tell me a little bit about, like, I guess trends or wedding dresses that you see have very high success rates of like, oh yeah, if we get a Haley Page from 2017 that has applique on it, we pretty much know it's going to be out the door in a couple of weeks. Are there dresses that are like high demand that you almost seek out, or certain designers that have like lend themselves almost to a second wear or a second opportunity?
Yeah, we do have a list of designers that we know pretty much will sell as long as it's a current collection. Given Instagram and other social media, the trends are changing very, very quickly. So one thing that was selling last year is probably not selling this year anymore. So everybody's facing like that very quick, fast fashion. We do see like Israeli designers emerging quite a bit. They've been in fashion for a while. Australian designers are also emerging. And pretty much like very loose fitted, kind of very comfortable dresses, but yet very feminine with like flower appliques, chiffon skirts. That's pretty much what we see in style. And for American designers, like Monique Lhuillier is obviously very in. She has been for a while. So we do see a lot of these designs.
Right. I would say definitely V-necks and open backs is something that we've been seeing trending. But I think the interesting thing about our business is that we have such a variety of both types of dresses, designers, as we probably have about 100 designers that we have in our store right now, just because of the way that we're sourcing dresses from individuals and for our designers and boutiques from samples. But we also have a variety of brides. We have, so many different types of brides because we do carry the variety of designers. But I would say generally, what I want to talk about, like Israeli, Australian, like the clean crepe look is big, especially after Meghan Markle's wedding.
So more sleeves than sleeveless or strapless.
Strapless, it's not. Strapless, I think definitely more straps, sleeves, off to shoulder, V-neck.
Strapless had, in my opinion, had a very long run of it being like the top, the only dresses that we were seeing, really. If I saw one with sleeves or long sleeves was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're wearing sleeves. I love it. But strapless had a really long run. And now I think only finally or recently is it starting to be less the norm. We do have listeners in Australia and Israel. And we know we've gotten emails from them recently, and we can kind of see our demographics. So that's so fun that you mentioned that. So are you getting people hitting up your website that live in those countries that are selling the dresses or coming to New York and want to try some on? I mean, how global is the outreach at this point?
Well, I think it's like New York. You get visitors from so many places. And one of the good things about our boutiques is that a lot of people have started to find out from elsewhere, and we're still trying to find out how, but we do get people coming in from Israel looking for a specific designer, and we do get people from pretty much anywhere in the world, Asia, you name it, that are coming in. A lot of times, like what Jacqueline mentioned, is we have pretty much any of the top designers. So you come in and you're probably going to find at least one or two dresses from that designer. So we do get a lot of people coming in looking for specific designers
right.
at our store.
Like, I have my heart set on wearing an Oscar de la Renta, so show me what you have. Even if they're yes. kind of different, or, you know, that's what they want to wear. So the idea is I'm wearing an Oscar de la Renta dress one way or the other. I'd really like to not pay full price for it.
Right.
Got it.
Exactly.
Jacqueline, when we talked on the phone... Oh, go ahead.
And I just wanted to add as well, we do partner a lot of times with designers and retailers, so we do carry a lot of samples as well.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say.
PR, but also
yes,
samples.
Was when we talked on the phone that you mentioned that a good amount of your inventory actually has not been worn before by
right.
for yes. a full wedding. It's been tried on before maybe, but not. It's not been pre-owned. So
right.
you think
yes.
about half your inventory or...
Yeah, I would say about half our samples. And back to, like, Chrissy, your earlier story about your friend where she didn't like her first dress. So we also have a good portion of our pre-owned, quote-unquote pre-owned.
That weren't worn.
Meaning coming from individual sellers that weren't worn because they, like, felt so pressured to buy the dress mm-hmm. because all their family members were there or didn't match the venue and they changed
yeah.
venue or didn't have their
or
venue.
Or they bought it
the dress.
2 years early. And
right.
it's like
you
buyer's
know,
remorse.
Chrissy.
Yeah.
right, so,
I always cringe when brides say that the own, you know, like they call me and they're like, we don't know our date, we don't know our venue, we're kind of still working out the budget, but I bought my dress. And it's like, I wish you would
right.
wait for a couple of those other things to fall into place or be muscled into place before the dress, because so many things will inform that. And also, I think if a bride, in my experience, a lot of times they'll buy the dress early enough that then they have time to overthink the dress, and there's some remorse, like, you know, if there's too much time that is there to sit, then that's a lot of time for some indecisiveness to get blown up. So
totally.
And trends change very quickly.
And trends change, or your best friend or your cousin or somebody, or Meghan Markle or somebody else wears a dress that's very similar to the one you have sitting in your closet, and it's like, I can't possibly wear that. It was just in this movie, and yeah. So, or that's what people want. But I do think they're a mistake or a misstep a lot of times for brides is buying the dress way too early.
Right.
And what
right.
you mentioned about, yeah, a lot of pressure. I mean, even in your store, do you find that, are people coming in with like full entourage, like all their bridesmaids, or is it like the bride by herself or the bride with her mom? I mean, is there a more successful way you feel like the experience maybe goes?
Right. I think it's sometimes hard to think about what you want if you have a lot of people there, especially because, you know, if you have a lot of friends there, your entire entourage, sometimes they're just thinking about what they like. And, you know, oh, they like bling bling, or they're, it's harder for them to think about like what you want or what you might want to wear on your wedding day. So sometimes they, you know, think brides get a little bit stressed out when they come with a lot of people. And we also try to keep our boutique very intimate. So we try to limit to maybe like two or three people just to kind of help her in her experience as well, and just to kind of help keep our boutique intimate. So I think usually when she comes with one or two people, that's when she's been able to really think about it and not feel pressured or distracted from having too many people there.
Got it.
And we also recommend, once you have your dress, stop looking.
Oh, my gosh.
That is the biggest piece of advice that we always have. Back to what you were talking about before, Chrissy. Just stop looking and just feel confident that you're going to have a beautiful dress
yes.
on your wedding
Treat
day.
Treat it like a fiancé.
Yes. Right? Yes. You found it. Yes. I totally agree. And I can tell you that will be one of the quotes that we pull out of the episode, because we say that about most things for weddings. Like, once you found your DJ, once you have the venue, or you've made decisions, for the most part, just file it and move on, because we have to keep moving forward. And, you know, if you're working with a wedding planner, sometimes there can be a lot of back and forth and almost like just beating a decision up. And it's like, we've made the decision, let's not go backwards. It's only complicating things, including the overall timeline. So I totally 100% agree. And I've watched one of my best, dearest friends try on so many dresses. It was like half the texts I was getting from her were like, I'm at another bridal store. And it was, there were so many red flags. I'm a wedding planner, but I'm also her friend. So I wasn't going to be like, stop it. You're a crazy lady. Knock it off. But she was spinning out. She was spinning herself into, I don't even know what I want anymore. What even looks good on my body? This isn't anything like what I thought. Right. And this is the same friend I was talking about that bought the dress, was in love with it. And then once the alterations were complete, it just was like, it was a different dress and it was clearly not what she set out for. And I mean, the regret was immense and it was very stressful. Now the wedding is months away, now it's weeks away. And ultimately she ended up scrapping the whole original dress, which was actually two dresses and blah, 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 and went with something that she like walked into a random bridal store in London and walked out with the sample size in her hands and put it in her suitcase and came back to the States, and her wedding was a couple weeks later. And it was perfect. It was the perfect dress. But it took so much to get there that maybe wasn't that necessary. Plus now she has all these dresses that she has to sell that weren't, like you said, they were bought, they're pre-owned, but they weren't really worn, but they had all these alterations. Right. So it's, I think she did end up selling something on Craigslist, and it was a fairly easy, it was like one person came and looked and they bought it, and she texted me and was like, you're never going to believe it. Like, it actually, I don't have it anymore. And it ended up being a win-win, but there was a lot of grief involved with that. Okay, great. So one other thing I wanted to, well, how long have you got, when did, what year was this when you did the pop-up, let's say?
2016, mm-hmm. late 2016.
And are there some future plans in the works? What's the next step or next level?
So there are quite a few plans. We do have a few things in the baking.
Yeah, in the pipeline, with your big business degrees.
We're definitely looking to grow in the next couple of months.
And there's one store in New York?
There's one store in New York, we're located on 30th and Broadway, so right at the heart of Manhattan, so we're very close to Nomad.
Got it. So tell me, do brides, I know like for some of my friends who have worn dresses where the designer has a big presence on social media, they'll put their photos up and tag the designer, and then if the designer comments back like, you look beautiful or whatever, it's like this thrill, like, oh my God, Haley Page just commented on my pic. Do you hear from your brides at like that got a dress there? Do they send you thank you notes? Are you getting pictures of like, I never thought I would, and I felt so amazing, and you know, what are some like stories, I guess, you're seeing that make it all worth it?
I think the amazing thing about the business is that we get it from both sides. We get sellers who are so excited, not only that they get some money back, but that they get to see their dress live on. And we've also had stories where we sold this one bride's, her, I think it was her mom who's trying to sell her dress. It was a Jenny Packham dress, and we're able to sell it to the next lucky bride. And then she wrote to us, and she's like, I'm going to now start like a college education fund for my granddaughter, because she was able to get that extra money. And I think that was such a great feeling from us, from like the seller's point of view, knowing that it's meaningful in so many ways. And for brides, because we do see them all the way through alterations, so we do develop like a really close relationship with them, and we hear from them all the time too about how they love the experience, they love the dress and the alterations, and that they were able to get like an Imbel Drawer, Vera Wang, or Monique dress within the budget that they want to spend.
Yeah, and just to add to that, probably the biggest growth from us has come from our customers. They're our biggest supporters. They're the ones that are, the brides that come into us, eventually most of the time turn into our sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Either they bought from us and then they turn into a seller, or they bought elsewhere and they come back to us knowing the concept that we're dealing
and
with.
And telling their bridesmaids and their sisters and sorority sisters and coworkers about the ease in the process, that it's not daunting. And once you get the dress to our Story Bridal, they're it's handled, and one way or another, it's either going to be sold or donated, and you don't have to do any work.
Right, right.
That's exactly it. Yeah, you don't have to do any work. We do everything for the seller's point of view.
Have you ever seen...
Having been in their shoes.
Yes, right, right. Have you ever seen a dress go three times? Like, if you've sold one to a... You know, does that same bride come back and say, let's do it again? That'd be a lot, right?
Three times? We haven't experienced it in part because weddings... People are still buying ahead of time, so people do still come, like, 10 months before their wedding. Yeah. Even though a lot of... I mean, we do see off-the-rack brides, but meaning, like, between the 2 years... There's probably been like two weddings.
Right, right, right.
But it was still sticks to the same selection criteria that we talked about earlier. Like, you know, we just still we still kind of evaluate the condition of the dress,
current
and
all trend.
The other, and the on trend. The yeah, that would be like a 2 to 3 year life for a dress. So then by then, it wouldn't sell as well because it was like four seasons ago that it came out.
But we have seen it go a second time around.
And been able to see how two different brides wore the same dress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's like one of the most exciting parts and how they change it. So as part of our blog, we have like this one vein that's called two brides and one dress, where we show how this two different brides wear the same dress, and one's getting married in the Hamptons and one's getting married in like Colombia.
The two separate, totally different looks and environments, and their weddings were totally different.
Right. And it's like so amazing to see. And that's what kind of inspired our name of Our Story. The idea that, you know, the dress can take on two different stories, or the idea of the story between you and your partner. And I think that's why, you know, it felt so fitting for a consignment store like ours.
Awesome. I love this. And for those of you listening, whether you think you might want to sell or you are still looking for a dress and might want to buy something, we'll include all of the links. And I think that blog that's on your website sounds really interesting too. So I'll point people there. And then, so just let us know right now your like social media and your website, phone number, all of that. And then I'll close with ours. And I would love to hear from any listeners that do reach out to you guys, or from, you know, if you get any calls and they say, like, I heard about you on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, like, let us know, because obviously we'd have to share some of those pictures.
Yeah.
And tag them and link them. And I think there's going to be some connections, though, because we do have our listeners just run the gamut from types of wedding budget, and location. So with New York being so central and you guys having a way to do the selling, you know, online or through the mail, I'm really interested to see how this goes. So thank you again for reaching out to us and for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
List off your website and phone number or email, whatever you want now.
Sure. So our website is ourstorybridal.com. And Our Story Bridal's also our Instagram as well.
And phone number is 646-653-2672.
Excellent. And you said the forms for like interest in selling is really easy right online.
Yep.
To just get the ball rolling.
Yep. It's like a less than two minute form, and it just captures the seller's information, the dress information, and it just pops it right onto us. And then the appointment system is also online as well. So they can do it like literally in seconds on their phone as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you again. I'm going to rattle off our outro stuff. So for those of you who follow us, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, we're on Facebook, TBWP Podcast. Twitter is TBWP Podcast. Please hashtag plan that wedding if you're sharing on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And on Instagram, we are at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. The email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And our phone number, if you want to call and leave us a message that you might hear on the show on a Yawa, or we'll share it on a bonus episode. And I guess the voicemail has been cutting people off after 2 or 3 minutes. So if that happens, just call back and continue your message and your questions. That number is 415-723-1625. And thank you for listening. Anna and Jacqueline, thank you for being on the show. And we will be here next week, y'all. So thanks again. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.